Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Before we dive in, there's a couple of announcements, housekeeping pieces, if you like, that I wanted to share with you. The first one is that we still have tickets available for our 100th episode of Adulting with Ebony Live, which is going to be in Bristol on the 28th of October. So if you want a ticket, then make sure that you have a look at the show notes. The link is there for you to come and join us. And Jo Westwood is going to be there, so you will also get to meet her. Plus, Jo has a course called Lovingly Fierce, which I am a proud affiliate of. And again, there's a link in the show notes to that course and a bit about why I'm so proud to be an affiliate of it. And the third and final thing is that we have a free challenge coming up. So if it's called Mindfully Empowered, so if this kind of thing, if being more confident, more in charge of your own reality, feeling really kick-ass and fine and really feeling good about who you are in the world and wanting to be more empowered, but also really conscious and really mindful at the same time, then you're going to love my 5-day free challenge. Mindfully Empowered challenge.com, or you can go to ebonyallard.com/challenge and you can find out about it there. Absolutely free, me delivering tons of content to you over 5 days, only 30 minutes a day. So 15 minutes of me speaking and teaching, and then 15 minutes on a little exercise challenge or task. You're going to love it, and I can't wait to meet some of you in the Facebook group and taking part and at the event. So cool. Anyway, here we go. Here's this week's episode. Today, I'm joined by Jo Westwood, who is a life coach, an author, and known for her fun, real, no BS approach to helping you improve your life. She specializes in helping women escape from codependency, reclaim their lives with confidence, and live lovingly fierce. Hello, my love.
Hi, lovely.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking with me.
Thanks for having me on. This is super exciting.
It is. We're going to talk about some really fun stuff, I think, or some really important stuff that isn't necessarily fun, but can be.
Oh, it's fun to me. It's all fun to me.
Good. I think it often comes from a place that isn't fun. But before we get there, mm-hmm. What does adulting or being an adult mean for you?
I think being an adult for me means knowing who I am. And that isn't a static thing. Somebody recently asked me, so I have been married and divorced, and somebody recently asked me, how do you feel after your divorce? And I said, I feel like myself. And that's what I feel like adulting is. It's feeling more and more like myself every day, always growing, always learning, always developing, but always getting closer to who I really am.
I love that. And what I love most about it actually is that it's not a static thing. And I think that's really important for people to get. You know, I talk a lot about this attitude of needing to be done that so many of us have, and it is kind of prevalent at the moment. It's like, when I do this, then I'll be done. Or when I get there, then I'll be done. It's like, what? So you can die? Like, I don't get the done mentality, right?
Oh my God, this is so funny. I always think this is such a funny little paradigm that humans have. We're so afraid of death and yet so eager to be done all the time. I'm like, you know, the only time you are done as a human being is when your body is dead, like. But you're so terrified to do that, so it doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, this is such a cool segue for me into the meat of the conversation that I want to have with you, which is about codependency. If anyone's going, why does she keep saying that? It's like, I want to talk about codependency, codependent behavior, and like how we get there. And for me, so I've recently been rereading Attached. And I'll put the links in so people can know what I'm talking about. But I've been rereading Attached. And one of the things that they are talking about in that book is, like, oftentimes as someone with an insecure attachment style,
we're terrified of saying what it is that we really want or what we need. And so we go about it in a really bizarre way. Now, then there's a people like me who actually have an aloof or an avoidant attachment style, and we go into protest behavior to get what we want, right? Both of which is really fucking unhelpful and comes from a place of being terrified of asking for what we want.
Yes.
Which is the same thing in a way. It's like that, like, I want to be done. So, you know, I want to have my needs met.
Yeah.
But I'm really terrified of it. It's so strange, yeah, right?
And I'm really unable to just communicate it in a clear, open, honest way, which is the only thing that will get you what you want ever, but so unable to do it, so terrified to do it. And so as you described, you know, with that codependent style of behavior, we can go into, you know, manipulating with kindness or passive aggressiveness or just like straight up being aggressive, and instead of actually just asking for what we need. So yeah, we just, I find human nature so fascinating. We're so weird.
We are beautifully weird, like, yeah, ridiculously weird. And it, to me, a little part, like when I first started talking about misfits, I will never forget the first coach who said to me, you can't do that. Like, you can't call people misfits, or you can't use, like, are you a misfit in your marketing, because no one will get it. No one wants to be a misfit. I'm like, you're wrong, right? Because the people who get it.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the same way, it's like, we are fucking weird, and that's what I love about us. Like, that's the best bit about being a misfit, is that actually you're like, oh, we're all weird. Like, that's part of the human condition.
Yeah, and you know that about yourself as well. If you feel like a misfit or you feel like a weirdo, the one thing you want somebody to say to you is, are you a weirdo? Are you a misfit? You'd like, yes, please, be my friend. Come be weird with me.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, I spent a million years, it's so weird, whenever I say this sentence, I'm wearing camouflage. You can't see this, for, you know, if you're listening to me, but I'm wearing camouflage again when I'm saying, I spent so many years wearing metaphorical camouflage so that no one would find out, so that everyone thought that I was, like, normal, right? That's all I wanted. And most of the misfits, I talk about this sometimes, like, most of the misfits I know, the difference between being a misfit and being a rebel or being a maverick is that rebels and mavericks try to be different and try to stand out and, like, want to be seen in their difference. Whereas misfits are like,
decision.
Yeah. Whereas misfits are like the most compliant people you'll ever fucking meet. They're like going around life, being considerate and like checking in and making sure everyone's okay. And like being second, you know, camouflaging themselves entirely so they don't stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, because as humans, we're social creatures, so we want to fit in. Fitting in and being loved equals safety, and that comes from childhood. You know, you need to elicit, if you live in a, hopefully you don't need to elicit love as a child, but if you come from any sort of dysfunctional family, then you find ways to elicit love, because love as a child means safety. And then if you don't figure that out, or you don't fix it or heal it in some way, then you just carry that into adulthood. You just are going around trying to find ways to elicit love from people and fit in, because that means you're safe. We're not meant, we aren't lone wolves, we're social creatures. We need to, like, be in a tribe. And so that's where that kind of need for that misfit to go around taking care of everyone and making sure everyone's okay and basically ingratiating yourself with other people comes from, I think.
When I was studying trauma and I was studying, like, the different responses that we have and what happens in our bodies and in our nervous system, I remember the day, so we've all heard of fight and flight. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other one that mostly women have, which is mend and attend. And the day I found out about that, I was like, oh my God, this all makes sense, right? Like, it's a safety reflex. We, when we're scared, we mend and attend. We're like, if I look after you, if I feed you, if I, you know, take care of you, then you won't hurt me.
Oh man, that gives me chills. That gives me chills. I just get, like, visions of, like, a little girl, like, taking care of, like, an abusive dad or something, like an alcoholic father, something like that. Yeah, and it reminds me of so many stories that we see played out in the media as well. Such a common sort of storyline young girl or teenage girl, quite often it's that dynamic, taking care of an older caretaker, and the dynamic should be flipped. They should be the one being taken care of. But that is, again, how they're trying to elicit that love and that safety. Yeah, such a common theme.
It is. And in a way, you know, my glass is always half full, and I'm always looking at the opportunity that's presented. And I think that there is a lot, I see a lot of codependent behavior and relationships where the dynamic isn't healthy. And what we have an opportunity for right now as a society is to become kick-ass and kind adults, which means becoming lovingly fierce from both sides, really stepping into what it means to be lovingly fierce, and to first of all do the self-development work and the self-reflection to understand what our needs are, and then to find the communication skills to actually ask for them, and to listen, and for it to be a healthy, happy relationship for both people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, figuring out that I was codependent going on my recovery journey was simultaneously one of the most painful experiences, but also categorically the best experience of my life, because it brought me to who I really am. It helped me to discover who I really am. When I could peel away that mask, when I could stop trying to please other people to fit in and to feel safe, and actually know that I was safe just to be myself. Mm. Yeah, massive opportunity, not just on a personal level. I mean, that's my personal experience of it. And anyone who's been on a healing journey around sort of codependent behaviors, addictive behaviors, people pleasing behaviors will feel that too. But I totally agree with you in terms of the opportunity for society and for the world to start to heal that, because there is so much of that dynamic out there at play. And I don't think that it is a coincidence that we are having it brought to the fore in such a massive way at the moment. We're seeing this kind of like narcissistic, abusive versus sort of codependent, empathic dynamic being played out on the world stage in such a huge way. Mm. I feel like it's been brought to our attention. Like, Donald Trump is the president of America for a reason. Mm. So that we can see that. I've never heard the word gaslighting so much since 2016. All of a sudden, people know what gaslighting is. Mm. And so there's this massive opportunity. And then there's women rising up and getting aware and becoming conscious and calling out people with abusive behaviors, but also looking inwards and seeing how do we play into this dynamic? How do we allow that to happen? So yeah, it's a really exciting time to be alive.
It is a really exciting time. And I know that it's kind of controversial for me to flag this, but I always do flag it. Like, it is, it's not that one person is to blame and one person who just received all of this stuff and had no part in it. It's like, yes, like, abuse is never acceptable, ever. Mm-hmm. And we, like, just like you said, like, sometimes we play our part in that without being aware of how we're playing our part in that.
Absolutely. I think I agree. It can be a controversial thing to say. The only caveat to that is obviously children who are too young to take care of themselves. Yes. Or vulnerable adults. But yes, outside of that, if you are an adult who can take care of yourself, who can put a roof over your own head and feed yourself, you've played into an abusive dynamic. I can own that in myself. I know that there were massive red flags before I got married. Had I have been a healthier person, had I have not been a codependent person, I would have broken that relationship off and I wouldn't have gotten married. So that's why I always like to, I don't really like the word toxic for that reason. I don't like to say toxic people, toxic behavior, because it's a judgmental word. I prefer to use the word abusive because it's just a factual word. Mm. You know, there's just a certain level of behavior from anyone that can be abusive. I prefer to say that I created an unhealthy dynamic with this person because I allowed that in. Yeah. Like, yeah, had I have been a different person, had I have had a different upbringing, a different set of values and a stronger sense of self-worth, I would have been like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and from my perspective, like, it's a gift that you didn't. It's a gift for, because of the type of person that you are, that you took that as an opportunity. You went and studied, you went and learned, you got help. You're now helping so many other people in a way that only you can do, because you're so you, because you're so approachable, because you're so grounded, because you have that BS, no BS approach. And like, I love you. And like, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you're really normal, right? Like, yeah, you're not someone unrelatable. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. I take that. yeah. And that's, I think, being able to take ownership of that is a positive thing for me. Mm. So there might be people listening to it thinking, oh, well, no, like, you were abused, you shouldn't put yourself down. And it feels like an empowering thing for me. I can't change my ex-husband's behavior. I can't change anyone's behavior, because it wasn't just the dynamic I was in with him. You know, there were work relationships and family relationships that were unhealthy. I can't change anyone else's dynamic, or you know, how they behave. But I can change the dynamic between us by changing my behavior and taking ownership of, what do I do? How do I value myself? How do I act? How do I interact with these people? So it's a really empowering thing for me to own that. And I really appreciate that you feel the relatableness of me. And I hope it is because I share that, just because I share that truth. And you say, yeah, like, you know what? I'm not perfect. Like, I can teach people how to recover from codependency because I had to do it. Like, I'm still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I am. It's why I have a show called Adulting with Ebony. It's like, you know, I share that sometimes you will win and sometimes it won't be fun. And like, it does get to be fun, but only when we're taking responsibility, only when we're showing up. And don't get me wrong, like, I have a whole toolbox of things that help me to numb out or displace or disassociate or, you know, all of the rest of it. And so for me, adulting is like showing the fuck up and like being here and course correcting again and again and again, and being surrounded by friends like you and, like, you know, like all of the people that I've collected along the way, and so we can just connect in with each other. And I think that something I really want to share with anyone listening, if you're identifying with anything that Joe said or anything that I've said, it's like, you don't have to do this alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you definitely don't, and you shouldn't be doing any of this alone. We're not meant to do this alone. We're meant to connect in with people who support us. We're meant to connect with people in a healthy way. And we're out there. We are out. We're out here, babes. I love something that you said a minute ago, actually, about, like, you have this toolbox of things to numb out with. And that made me think, that's such an adult thing. That's the thing that is, like, that's one of the things that you get when you're an adult, is you get the opportunity to numb out if you want to. And I think that is one of the big pieces about being an adult, is because you have that choice, then you also get the responsibility and you get the choice to use it or not. And so it's like, I could numb out, I could drink a whole bottle of wine tonight, like, I could just eat the whole tub of ice cream, or I could do the thing that I know really makes me feel good. And I think that is a big piece of adulting.
It's so interesting, because as you were saying that, I'm like, do you know what? One of the big things that shifted in my reality since I was somebody who was in many codependent relationships and actively collecting them, you know, one of the things that changed are the things that I go to in that toolbox. And some of them are kind of childish. Hear me out. So it's around self-soothing. Okay, so one of the reasons that we drink or eat food or ice cream or whatever is to self-soothe. It's to find that feeling of, like, I'm safe, I'm calm, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not embarrassed to share this, weirdly. I have like a squishy pillow. Now, as a kid, as a baby, I had a squishy pillow that I would kind of snuggle with. And I had that cushion until I was 17. And I somehow made it cool. And all of my friends, it was really cool to the touch. And when I'd go to sleepovers and stuff, people would be like, can I have it? And I have no idea how I made like having a cushion, like a pillow, cool. I have no idea, but I did.
Not much of a badass, Ebony.
I really wasn't then, though. But I also threw it away in a public bin on Kensington Gardens in Brighton, so that I would never, like, so that I could not get it back, right? Like, I threw it away. I now have an adult version of that, which is a very nice eiderdown habitat square cushion with a whole range of beautiful pillowcases for it. But I will really take ownership of, like, sometimes I just need to go and have a snuggle, and sometimes it isn't with somebody else, because if, like, in times gone by, I would have maybe gone out and looked for, like, how can I get physical attention from another person, and I would have done something that long term hurt me, yeah, by attracting someone in or calling someone in for the kind of relationship I really didn't want, and then, like, leave in the middle of the night or never speak to them again, or, you know, create all sorts of dynamics. Now when I get like that, I'm like, where's my pillow? Netflix on, have a snuggle. And it might sound childish, but actually it's a really mature thing to do.
Yeah, it's doing that. So it's like that conscious self-soothing. And I think whatever your go-to is, I think if you know your limit around that, and again, that's a very adult thing to do, is to know, like, I just need a night of this, whatever that is. And if that feels like a healthy and good thing for you, that's where you need to go, and you need to make that choice for yourself. You know, when you're a kid, hopefully you have someone who's taking care of you and who is kind of bossing you around a little bit, who's telling you, like, where you need to be and what time you need to be in bed. They know how long you need to sleep to be refreshed. They know when you need to eat. They know how much you need to drink. Like, they're taking care of you in that way. And they're kind of just, you know, shuffling you around life and making sure you're okay. And it's okay to kind of throw a tantrum and demand what you want. But when you get to be an adult, you don't have somebody doing that for you. And it becomes much less acceptable to have a tantrum. Although sometimes we still do. And so, yeah, that's like, it's such a smart thing. And it's such a grown up thing to be able to say, this is what I need right now. So this is what I'm going to give to myself. And I think that is one of the most gorgeous grown-up things you can do for yourself, is say, what do I need and how do I give it to myself? Mm. Like, that right there is just recovery in a nutshell.
Yes. Yes. And then we can get into relationships where we are able to ask to have our, and it's a request to have our needs met rather than demanding, right? And then we get into a place where we can ask someone and they can say no, and we can go and look what other friends, what other relationships we've got. Did I disappear? Did our internet cause us issues?
It did a little wobble.
Oh, damn.
I think I've got you now though.
Good. Yeah, I was saying, then we can get into relationship, then we can request to have our needs met because we're meeting them for ourselves, so we know what that feels like. Then we can, that's co-creation, that's actually being in a interdependent relationship where we can, where it's okay to be needy, but it's also okay for the other person to say no, and then for you to go and look for someone else to meet that need or to meet it for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that, it's when it switches from a need to a want.
Mm.
That's when it becomes healthy, is because you know essentially you can fulfill your needs, and then anything outside of that is a bonus. It becomes a request, it becomes a want. And there's nothing more gorgeous than to be in a relationship with someone who really wants you.
Mm. Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm kind of scrolling back in my mind to a place where I didn't believe that was possible. So now I see it. Now I'm surrounded by it. Now I know it's possible. Mm. But I remember being in a place where I don't know that I really believed that. That I was, you know, you hear relationship coaches quite often talk about, like, don't take the scraps, the crumbs that you're being given. And you're like, but it's all that's available.
Yeah.
if anyone listening's in that place, what would you say to them that might help?
I would just scroll back a couple of minutes and re-listen to everything that we just said about fulfilling your own needs first, because if you are in a place where you cannot fulfill your own needs, you will only attract in people who cannot fulfill your needs either. That's all you'll get. You will only get the scraps. And I felt that same way. I had been in the same relationship over and over and over again my whole life. And I just thought, I'm straight. I just thought, this is how men are. That's what men are like. But then I would see people who were in healthy relationships. And you know what, Ebony, I used to think that was fake. I used to think they're faking it. They are miserable when they go home after this dinner party. That can't be real. They can't be that connected and that in love and that supportive of each other. That can't be true, because I had never experienced it. And it took for me to get to a point where I didn't need anybody else for someone that I wanted and who wanted me to come in.
So important. I'm just giving that some space and some air, because it's so, so important.
Yeah. It feels terrifying. It feels fucking terrifying to let go of needing and being needed, but I promise you it's the only way, and it will happen for you if you do it.
If someone wants to come and find out more about working with you, if they want to, if they're ready to dive down the rabbit hole and do, learn and do and show up in a different way, where's the best place to find you and to find out more?
So you can check out how to work with me on my website at joewestwood.com. So I do private coaching, and I also have an online course called Lovingly Fierce, which is all about codependent recovery.
Cool. We'll put all the links in to make it all really easy, clickable for people to come and find it.
Awesome. And you will find me on the social medias on Instagram at Jo Westwood.
Fab. Jo, will you do an I'm an Adult But with me?
Yeah.
I love how it's a surprise, even though we've discussed it every single time. And then I get to a place of like, why did I set myself up? We're like, you know, so many episodes in now. I did not think this through for myself. It's all very well. You only have to think of one. I've been thinking of them for over a year and a half now.
Okay. I'm an adult, but I've just been to the co-op and bought some cream egg ice cream, two pizzas and a packet of crisps, and I'm going to eat all that with the movie tonight.
Getting your needs met.
Probably with loads of dogs lying on the bed surrounding me.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah.
So I'm an adult, but I ordered a sofa 2 months ago that I completely fell in love with, and I didn't measure it, and I didn't measure my living room. And right now I'm going to go and spend the rest of the evening moving around the rest of the furniture in my living room to make it look right, and otherwise I might be getting rid of some furniture tonight.
Oh my god, this is amazing. I love this. We need to do this with everyone. I want to know everyone's I'm an adult but.
We're doing this hashtags on my Instagram where we do adulting wins and adulting fails, and we're starting to share some of the ones from inside the podcast so that people can see them on social media, and just taking them out of the podcast themselves and sharing them as well. So
I'm definitely going to look that up.
And if you're listening, please come and join us. Tag me on Instagram, share your adulting win and adulting fail, because I shared one the other day. Like, the first one that I started this with was like, I rang my car insurance company and I was like, I would like to protect my 9+ years no claims bonus, please. And they went, yes, madam, no problem. It's free to do that. And oh, look, it's decreased your premium by £120 for the next year. And I was like, adulting win. And then I like looked at the next thing on my admin adulting pile of stuff, and it was a parking fine that I hadn't paid that has now increased to £70. Adulting fail.
Yeah, still a net gain though, so I'd take that from the day.
Thank you so much for coming and talking with me.
Oh, thank you so much, Ebony. It's been a joy as always.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.